Welcome to this edition of the God is Your Life broadcast. This is Reverend Mark Slay inviting you to join me for the next few minutes as we get into the Word of God. Deuteronomy 30:20 tells us to love the Lord your God, obey His voice, and to hold tight to Him, for this is your life. I'll be back in a few minutes, but for now, let's listen as I teach from the Word. And then he said to her, "Your sins are all forgiven." And those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Well, who is this man who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith saved you. Go in peace." Well, notice she's gone in peace and forgiven. The Bible acknowledged in two places there that she was a sinner and her sins were many. But here she gets to go away completely forgiven. There's no argument about what she was. And really now, there's no argument about what she is. She is forgiven of God, regardless of what this self-righteous Pharisee sitting next to her thought. It's over in the mind of God. Now that Pharisee may turn up his nose every time he sees that woman. "He gave her more attention than he gave me." Well, yeah, that's correct, because you're pompous and arrogant, and she just humbled herself and wept at his feet. Said, "Forgive me." You can see that kind of a heart will never get anywhere with God. There's no sense in coming to God trying to tell him how good you are. He already knows you're not. He already knows we're all not. I'm talking about measuring up to the perfection of Jesus, to the standard of God. We all fall short. Romans 3:23 says, "For we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Now let me say this too also, because this needs to be said and balanced out. You're forgiven with your sins. And I've seen this from time to time. People are forgiven of their sins, but they feel so badly about maybe their life, because they know. In fact, that's one of the things that crushes them. They know their life has just been a wreck. And it just crushes their spirit because they just know it. And so what they do is they constantly try to snoop around in other people's life for little things that they're doing wrong so that they can feel better about themselves, because they already feel terrible unconsciously about themselves. So they snoop around. "Well, we'll see, they're not so perfect either." Well, yeah, but don't forget, you're not either, and you were a huge mess. Don't try to find a little speck in your brother's eye just to try to make you feel better about the big beam that's in your own. We're all just going to be forgiven, period. And no matter what the scale of those sins may be, Jesus did make a distinction there, but he that sins little or sins a lot, he said they're all sinners. And they all need to be forgiven or they can't go to heaven. Do you see that? So don't get in either side of the trap. There's a trap on either side of that road. Notice that woman's forgiven. Now in Mark chapter 4, you'll find different, and I've go over this scripture before. This is not anything new, but in the 4th chapter, the 13th verse of Mark's gospel, Jesus gives you four classes of people. Talk about people in the earth and how they respond to what God does to them or for them. The 13th verse, he starts off, "Don't you understand the parable?" Well, he gave them a parable about somebody sowing seed. In fact, let's back up. Let's go to the 3rd verse so you can read the parable with me. Listen to this. "Behold, a sower went out to sow." Sower was old language for throwing seed out. "And as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground, and where it didn't have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it didn't yield a crop. And other seeds fell into good soil, and as they grew up," notice that, grew up, "and increased, they yielded a crop, and produced 30, 60, and 100 fold. And he who has ears to hear, let him hear." And then verse 13, now pick up there. "Do you not understand this parable? How are you going to understand the rest of the parables?" Verse 14, "The sower sows the word." Or you could say Pastor Mark at this moment. "These are the ones," or the first group are the ones, "who are beside the road when the word is sown. And when they hear it, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them," or sown in their heart. Immediately Satan comes and takes away the seed that was sown. Immediately, who comes? Immediately, who comes? When you don't believe the word, who got involved in your life? Satan. What's he trying? What's he coming after? You? Well, not really. The word. He's coming after the word out of you. Because if he can get the word out of you, then he can get the life out of you. That's why when people, you know, if Satan can talk them into abandoning church, then he's got them. Prisoner of war, tagged and bagged. If you won't never come where the word is being sown, we have no hope of changing you because it's the word that does it. So all he has to do is convince them to isolate them. And if he can isolate them, prisoner of war. Why? Because it's the word that does the work. In a similar way, there are the ones who are sown on the rocky places, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, but they don't have any firm root in themselves, and they're only temporary. And then, now listen, when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, now notice it's the word he's after. Notice it's the word. Said, well, then they fall away. Well, what's this group? Well, the first group just dismisses it immediately. This group hears the word and says, man, this is interesting. This is great stuff. And then all of a sudden, persecution or affliction comes because of the word. Somebody finds out you're going to a church. You're doing what? Oh, yeah. I've been going to church every Sunday. Oh, come on. Get off it. I had them say it to me. Coming out. I mean, all. Come on, Mark. Get off of that. I ain't got off it for 26 years and don't plan on anytime soon. Oh, come on, man. And they can't handle it, the peer pressure. Oh, my God. I'm going to lose my friends. Friends like that, you don't need enemies. They're working on Satan's behalf. He said they're only temporary, and when things get rough because of the word. Now listen, if you, whatever translation you have, it doesn't matter. Here's what Jesus said. When things get rough because of the word, they give up. I'll say it one more time. Things are going to get rough because of the word. He just said so. Whether it's from people or whether it's from the devil working circumstances in your life where he's going to bankrupt you or he's going to keep you from a job or he's going to do whatever he can. If he can get devilish people to do devilish things, I'm thinking about one person that called me recently that they felt like they were done an injustice at a place of work. They're an African-American and they felt like they got fired because they were African-American. You know, if Satan can manipulate certain people to put you in a box, he's going to do it. No fault of this person's own. They're just, you know, just a bunch of hillbillies that didn't like African-Americans. And so, you know, that's the way it goes. Well, the devil's got no shortage of workers anywhere. So when persecution or affliction happens because of the word, then just get ready because it will happen. But if you give up, notice he said they have no firm root in themselves. See, if you just do this superficially and you're just fooling people and you don't really want to do this that all that much, then you're an easy target. But if you really want to do this with all your heart, then you will push through every resistance the enemy provides for you, and he'll provide quite a bit at times. Well, look at the next group. Verse 18 says, and others are the ones the seed was sown among the thorns. And these are the ones who've heard the word, but the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches. You know, got to have money at any cost. No, I'm not talking about having enough to get by. You got to have that. That's not what I'm talking about. Talk about an inordinate greed for money to where you're just going to leave God for money. The desire for other things enter in and choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. Now notice this is the third class of people. These are the ones, they hear the word, and because they're just too interested in other things. Man, I want to be free to do what I want to do, Pastor Mark. Don't come in here and lay that stuff on me that I can't go to the clubs and I can't do this. I can't sleep with who I want to sleep with. Well, I'm going to lay it on you because that's what it says. And if you don't like it, then go find you a church that'll let you do anything you want to do. And as long as you just pay your tithe once in a while, they don't care. They're not going to ruffle your feathers. Just keep coming, keep paying me, Mr. Preacher, and then you do whatever you want to. Well, that ain't this church. I'm going to lay it out in front of you. I'm not going to come home with you or ride home to check and see if you're doing it, but I am going to tell you what's right, and then you get to make the choice. How's that? But don't expect to come into this church and have a pastor who's not going to tell you it's wrong. It is. Nope, he said, these are the ones that the desire for other things come in, man. I just want to do this, Pastor Mark. Well, okay, just realize what you're exchanging for that. You know, I just want you to make an educated decision. Realize what you are giving up in exchange for what you want to do. Realize what you're swapping out. You're going to take this lower life for eternal life. That's what you're choosing. Realize the consequences, and then you're free to make any choice you want. But don't come here and expect me not to tell you the consequences, because then I'm responsible. I'm just letting you know ahead of time what you're exchanging. And if you do it, then that's up to you. Now, verse 20. These are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word and accept it, notice permanently, and they bear fruit, 30, 60, and 100 fold. You know, you may start out just bearing a little bit of fruit, but then you get on up to the 60, and then you get up to where you're just really bearing fruit. You know, I've talked to you before about how the Lord confirmed for me through different ministers the call that he had on my particular life, the ministry, full-time ministry, because I always considered myself as a Christian in the ministry. From the day I got born again, man, I was out there, and this is the absolute truth, I was out there on the campuses of Arizona State handing out tracts. I mean, during my breaks, I'd study my books sometimes, but there's other times I'm out there handing out the tracts and walking up to people and sharing the four spiritual laws with them right there on Arizona State's campus. That was when I didn't know anything. I didn't hardly know what four spiritual laws were, but I just got busy. I knew Jesus was real, and that's really about all I really knew. Even though I'd read the Bible, none of it made much sense to me the way I understand it today. And so I figured I always was in the ministry. Well, the Lord was calling me to full-time ministry, and I knew he was calling me to some form of ministry, but I didn't know all that. Well, I can think of several places. Here's one time I was in a place, and this man who was ministering, he came and he prayed for me, and he said, "The Lord's planting a seed of ministry in you." Now, he don't know anything about what the Lord's already spoke to me. He don't even know me. He said, "The Lord's planting a seed of ministry in you, and it's going to grow and grow and grow and grow." Well, isn't that what Jesus said? 30, 60, and 100 fold. You start out just very, you know, small, just in the things of God, just maybe helping your family, and then, you know, it might get to 30 fold, and then 60 fold, and then eventually 100 fold. You become more productive. All of us. Not Pastor Mark, I'm using me as an example because I don't know about you, but I know about me. But you're the same way. What he's working here and saying here is not for the minister. It's for the Christian. 30, 60, and 100 fold. That means at one point in your life, you're really only at 30. Another point, you might only be at 60 fold. In other words, of where you should be in the plan of God. But eventually, you'll get to 100 fold in your maturity, in your life, and in your walk with Jesus Christ. And that's what he's after. Just to trust his cleansing blood,
just and simple faith. I hope you enjoyed today's message. The title of the message is Christian Growth is a Process. If you'd like a copy, you can look us up on the web at mrcstl.org or marksslay.org. That's marksslay.org. Or you can call our office at 314-965-8488. 314-965-8488. Until next time, this is Reverend Mark Slay reminding you that God is your life. To trust.